Hello everyone, welcome to the City of Melbourne Council meeting number 4 on Tuesday the 30th of March, and we're kicking off at 5:30 p.m. Welcome to councillors, management and members of the public. Thank you for attending our meeting this evening. The City of Melbourne respectfully acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which the City of Melbourne is gathered, the Bunurong Boonwurrung and the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung peoples of the Eastern Kulin Nation, and we pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. The City of Melbourne is committed to our reconciliation journey, and we believe that every effort we can make to strengthen relationships between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal peoples has benefits for us all as individuals, as a community, city and state. As part of our efforts to contain the spread of COVID-19 and pursuant to the provisions of sections 394 and 395 of the Local Government Act 2020, council and committee meetings will be held virtually until further notice. During the period 1 May 2020 to 26 April 2021, which actually isn't that far away now, we are able to live stream our meetings, and live streaming satisfies the public attendance test during that prescribed period. This meeting is being streamed live, and an audio and video recording will be published on the Council's website by close of business tomorrow. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will be made available on our website as soon as practicable. Can we all check our mobile phones, please, and make sure they're off or to silent? The agenda this evening comprises 9 reports from management, 3 of which are confidential. We have no apologies this evening. Thanks, councillors. In relation to any item being considered this evening, if you have either a general or material conflict of interest as defined in the Local Government Act 2020, please state the type and nature of that interest prior to consideration of the item. Councillors, I'm calling on a mover, please, for a resolution adopting the open minutes of Council meeting number 3 held on Tuesday, 23 February 2021. Councillor Griffiths, thanks, and seconded by the Deputy Lord Mayor. All those in favour of the minutes, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare the motion carried. Thanks, team. Are there any matters arising from those minutes that you'd like to discuss? None. Thank you. The following submissions have been received in accordance with the Council's governance rules. In relation to Agenda Item 6.4, Precinct Development Program 2017-21, Review and New Model Recommendation for 2021-2025, we had an item of correspondence from Mary Lou Howie at the Friends of Queen Victoria Market. And in relation to Agenda Item 6.5, Update on Extended Outdoor Dining Initiative, we've had an item of correspondence from Chris Thrum. Thank you to our submitters this evening. Councillors, before we go any further, would anybody like to discuss the confidential status of the 3 items on the agenda? No, thank you. There are no reports from committee for consideration in open session, but there are 6 reports from management for us to consider this evening in open session. The first item is 6.1, which is Procurement Australasia Limited annual financial results as at 30 September 2020. Councillors, would anybody like a presentation on this item? No, then I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Leleu, thank you, and a councillor to second the motion. Thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. Over to you, Councillor Leleu.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Nothing really much to add. I just wanted to say this is a company that we control 63% of, but it's one that we work along with other councils. I also put to many of our new councillors to have a background reading of why we got into it, because it's a good way for council to reduce cost. As a result, we have a big share of the company, but we have very small voting power. Nevertheless, it's a very important one. Just like every other one, it's been hit hard by COVID as well. Note that it's an operating profit of around $160,000, which is versus $1.78 million the same as previous years. So there is a real big hit from COVID. But overall, looking, hoping that Procurement Australasia get well out of this, and hopefully we can get back to making good profit, at which we will get good dividends.
Thank you. Deputy Lord Mayor?
Nothing to add, Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers to this motion? Then we'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare the motion carried. Thanks, councillors. Item 6.2, Audit and Risk Committee, biannual activity report and referred documents from February 2021. And that's the Audit and Risk Committee meeting. Councillors, would anybody like a presentation on this item? Thank you. Calling on a councillor to move this item. Thanks, Councillor Lalu, and a councillor to second the item. Councillor Hakim, thank you. Over to you, Councillor.
Very short, simple. It's a biannual report, and I just want to begin by thanking everyone on the Audit and Risk Committee and also Councillor Hakim for being on there as well. With both of us got an audit background, plus of the many of our independent advisors as well on the panel. I just wanted to know, look, on page five, you know, these are the things, again, we take audit and risk very seriously here in Melbourne. You know, so for example, if you go to page five, key activities for the reporting period, you looked at all the things we talked about and, you know, combustible cladding. We've also talked about QVM and citywide. Also, we talked about external audit, internal audit, especially with our VAGO and our internal auditors. But, you know, it's a big component because we are a big city and capital city, so and it's one that goes for all the issues come up, especially around the risks. So, look, I just wanted to thank everyone on the committee for their work and, again, looking forward to how we can mitigate that and control that risk going forward.
Thanks, Councillor Lelo. Councillor Hakim?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'll be seconding the motion. So also want to just acknowledge the Chair and independent members of the committee for their continued work in what is a critical area of governance, and to also acknowledge Councillor Lelou's part in with the Finance Committee and with the Finance Portfolio and this audit and committee, which has a really critical role to play. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Councillor Hakim. Are there any other speakers to this motion? All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you. Item 6.3 is the Councillor Gift Policy. Would anybody like a presentation on this item? Thank you. Then I'm looking for a mover to this item, Councillor Lalu. Thank you. And a seconder to the item, Councillor Reece, Deputy Lord Mayor. Over to you, Councillor Lalu.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And again, just wanted to thank Michael and Keith for their work on this. Look, it's pretty straightforward in terms of it's a gift policy where we outlined how we as councillors deal with gifts, to whether or in our official capacity. It also outlines very clearly some of the gifts that must be declined. All the things that we may accept on as councillors, but also more importantly, all the ones that we have to be declined and what's reasonably what's considered gifts and everything. So this is a very clear way for us to go forward on a lot of the things, and I just wanted to thank the team for outlining this.
Thank you, Councillor Reece.
Thank you, Lord Mayor Capp. Look, I'd also like to begin by thanking the team who have worked on this, Michael Tonta, Keith Williams and others. I want to thank them because what we've got here is a significantly stronger and improved transparency arrangements for the City of Melbourne when it comes to the acceptance of gifts. this new policy is a new requirement under the 2020 Local Government Act. Prior to the acceptance of this policy today, which I'm hoping is going to pass shortly, the City of Melbourne hasn't, in fact, had a policy. We've had a position which was agreed to back in 2016 that resolved to record gifts and put them on a register on a website, but the detailed policy around that wasn't there, and that's what we're now seeing tonight with this new policy, which, as I said, has significantly more detail and a much stronger set of arrangements for the City of Melbourne. The policy does provide the circumstances in which councillors can accept gifts, and they are in circumstances where they are considered reasonable, such as accepting tickets to functions or events where councillors are representing the city. And it's also a policy which links to the council's adopted councillor protocol, which goes into detail about how tickets to functions and events are to be managed. So when you put that all together, you get a much stronger and more transparent set of arrangements here at the city. I think as a capital city council, it is important that councillors are out and about and representing the city at a range of cultural, community, business and sporting events. And that's why I think the adoption of this new policy is so timely, particularly as we want to be out there activating Melbourne and seeing the city bring back the buzz. Also importantly, for the first time, this policy sets out the arrangements in where the acceptance of a gift is explicitly not acceptable. So, for example, councillors will now be required to decline gifts that are in the form of cash or equivalent, such as a gift card. Councillors will be required to decline offers of gifts that come in the form of payments, loans or discounts for the purchase, hire or use of property or services for private purposes. Councillors will be required to decline gifts which come in the form of lottery or raffle tickets. And importantly, these things are now spelled out in black and white in policy, so there can't be the confusion. There isn't the greyness and ambiguity that we've had in the past. And again, that creates for a much stronger set of arrangements. Finally, I will note that the headline number, it comes in at 500. That is consistent with the gifts policy. It's also the number that is set out under this statutory regime. So while the methodology does differ in terms of the calculation, the headline figure of 500 is now consistent, and so that's something that will be easy for councillors to remember and hopefully mean that compliance is to an even higher standard. So you put all those factors together, and I'm pleased to be able to commend this new policy, this new stronger set of arrangements to councillors.
Thank you very much, Deputy Lord Mayor. Are there other speakers to this motion? Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I agree with everything that the mover has said and almost everything that the seconder has said. And let me emphasise that this is an excellent policy and the recommendation before us is obviously a sound one. I believe that policies like this that council or that apply directly to 11 people should, as far as possible, be formed on the basis of as much consensus as we can possibly achieve. I was in the chamber in mid-2016 when we adopted the voluntary gift disclosure regime, which set an individual gift threshold at $150. And the only reason I'm quibbling with the recommendation today is that I don't believe that we've shown enough of a reason to change what I believe has worked reasonably well. It's not without its problems, but nor is a regime that changes the disclosure threshold to $500. The only point of caution I'll set out here is that the gift policy talks about gifts received in a capacity as a councillor that need to be disclosed above $500, and so will not cover everything that may or may not give rise to a conflict, and they're individual gifts, not cumulative gifts, that also could have been collected before one became a councillor. And so we all need to be very careful to ensure that just because something's been considered through the gift policy doesn't necessarily mean that we've excluded or included consideration of a gift when it comes to a consideration of a conflict later on. These things aren't perfectly aligned, and they never quite can be. That said, the principles behind the policy are excellent. We are attempting to avoid unnecessary conflict where we can. This is a principle that was enshrined in our code of conduct, and I think the guidelines for councillors in that policy are excellent. I recognise the consensus that we have, and so I'm not going to go through the process of seeking to amend the document here and now. I will just vote against what I think is otherwise an excellent policy, and request that my opposition be recorded under Clause 50 of the governance rules on the basis that the $150 status quo threshold ought to be retained. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Lippitt. Are there any other speakers to this motion? No, then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hands. That's Councillor Hakim, Councillor Griffiths, Councillor Doidge, Councillor Chang, Councillor Campbell, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Leloux, Councillor Louis, Councillor Capp, and those against the motion, please raise your hands, and that is Councillor Lippitt and Councillor Ball. The majority are in favour, so the motion is carried. Thank you, councillors. Our next item, 6.4, is the Precinct Development Program 2017-21 review and new model recommendation for 2021-25. Councillors, would you like a presentation on this item? No, then I'm looking for a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Louis, thank you, and a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Chang, over to you, Councillor Louis.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. It's a great pleasure to move this motion. It's probably one, if not one of the longest programs the City of Melbourne has carried forward with. Truly a grassroots program where not only is the whole committee voluntary, but I think the passion that goes with it, the man hours that they put into it, it shows through in the results that many of the larger programs have been able to move forward. As we've seen in the last hours, the Docklands Dollars has become a great success. Truly, they work with every one of the businesses within their geographic area to try and get them moving forward, network them, advise them and mentor them in City of Melbourne programs. There are certainly a great way that the city partner with, if that's probably not the right legal term, but that we certainly work very strongly with, even though they work as individual groups. We owe them a lot in terms of the amount of hours that they put into it. Today is about opening up and calling for applications for the program. Any business association group is welcome to apply. Certainly, there are strict conditions on this addressing a email from Credit to a market from Mary Lou Howie in regards to membership. I think in terms of application, all groups are welcome. There's strict, naturally very strict conditions that goes with it. It's not about a small internalised group, but it's about a wider geographic area and a wider spread of members that it needs. Currently we have 9 precincts which are active. Some are smaller, some are larger, and some are still growing in terms of hitting over the 300 mark. And I think the report and the SGS report shows that and encourages a growth in memberships by recognising and rewarding precincts in years 3 and 4 that have achieved 150, 200, 300 members with increased funding to support their business and their marketing needs. But I think over the last 20-odd years, certainly I've seen it grow and I've seen it decline a bit. And I think under the great management of Andrew and Katrina and Chez, I think it's taking and added a new life. And with the SGS report and with the recommendations, I think it's certainly it's a program that's worth reasonable, dedicated and reasonable size business associations to get involved with. As I said, it's open to all, but I think, as I said, there's strict conditions that goes with the precinct program, and I think whoever, whichever group applies will need to go through and actually read the conditions and the geographic conditions and the actual requirements in terms of acquittals and the association models that you need to put in place to be part of the program. So it's my great pleasure to move this motion. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Louis. Councillor Cheng.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Louis. Precinct associations play a very important part in bringing Melbourne back to life, and thank you to the precincts for working hard with small businesses to do their best to try to reinvigorate the precincts. Thank you, Andrew and Katrina, as well, for working hard with the precincts under very difficult circumstances to do your best to reactivate them. I know it's very hard right now. I think this motion also is very good in terms of trying to diversify and incentivize more inclusive precinct memberships. So I think more members in each precinct is definitely better. It helps a unified sort of association to work out what is best for each individual precinct. So I'm happy to support this motion. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Chang. Would any other councillors like to speak to this motion? Good. Councillor Hakim.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just want to say that it's great to see the support for our business precinct program and the initiatives introduced for this next period. We can see how these can activate our communities and businesses as they are in Docklands, for example, with the Docklands dollars launched yesterday, supporting local businesses and community in Docklands. And also a little tidbit, but the first group to have actually devised the voucher program that was first pitched at the beginning of the pandemic last year. So this program in particular aims to increase participation, and I urge all businesses in each precinct to consider membership to their precinct association and to get involved. It's a great way to see innovation come through as well in each precinct. I commend the team on their works on this program iteration and to Councillor Louis and Councillor Chang on their work in making this, bringing this forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers? We've got Councillor Lelou.
Thank you, and I just wanted to say thank you to Andrew and Katrina for the many, and I guess Shez as well, for the great work they do in helping our precincts. I note also the $100,000 we've paid to each of the precincts, and hopefully they are able to use that to activate the city again. For me, look, I think precincts always, as Councillor Louis has said, it's an integral part of who we are. And even though it's separate to us, but ultimately when people talk about the precinct program, they talk about City of Melbourne. And I think we have, done a lot of hard work in this area. But at the same time, there are changes that, needs to be made because ultimately the precinct program, from my understanding, hasn't really been revised or reviewed. So this is one of the very first. And I think we do need to recognise, and I think some of those things are spelled out in the SGS report. I will also support this because I think it's quite important. But nevertheless, I think, and I note that I think there's a precinct program coming meeting on Thursday, which I don't think all of us will be able to go to, but it'd be great, Andrew, if we, you can take to the precincts, how they can expand and also think about, you know, growing, you know, getting some new members and getting them more involved because, you know, as we've seen during the COVID-19 crisis, a lot of business came reaching out to us in terms of, you know, what's, you know, how we can support them. And, you know, I would say they are a great way for us to engage with them. Another thing is also how we also need to ensure the governance and I guess the governance part is also maintained because at the end of the day, it is associated with us and it's very important that we actually... But look, you know, we have new precincts popping up, new areas popping up within City of Melbourne. You know, Arden potentially could be, you know, the North Melbourne. But, you know, there could be, you know, university sectors there. Or, you know, so there are... Each part of Melbourne is actually now changing. I remember going down Elizabeth Street, but nevertheless, now it's more international students, you know, and everything. So it'll be great to see new precincts pop up and, you know, us supporting it because, you know, the city has changed from way, way back when this precinct program starts. But also at the same time, it would be great to see many of these existing precinct programs to expand and also to assist the stakeholders that is actually in CBD Melbourne.
Thanks, Councillor Liu. Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I just wanted to quickly add my support to this recommendation and thank officers and also SGS for the review. These new guidelines and the new 2021 to 25 business precinct program I think will serve us well. There was an opportunity to look at some more significant changes and SGS started to canvass what some of those could be in the context of the virus and the recession and economic recovery. I think everyone's first commitment in the precincts is to their businesses and recovery and imposing drastic changes to the way those precincts are governed on top of that could be quite problematic. What we've got here is a balanced approach, making sure that we're not putting those precincts through very, very difficult challenges and changes, but at the same time, updating the guidelines in a way that will drive healthier governance, support the precincts to serve their precincts better, support the association members to be the best that they can be, and to get those resources from the City Council to those precincts out as efficiently as possible. So it is a difficult balance given everything that's going on in the city, but these precincts are the lifeblood of our city wherever they are. There are 9. There, of course, shouldn't be 10. I'm going to very quickly note the submission. We do have a de facto precinct for Queen Victoria Market, and we spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on it every year through precinct trader programs, through Queen Victoria Market Proprietary Limited, through marketing and so on. And the idea that instead of that we spend $120,000 and let those traders market themselves from a pool of $120,000 is one of the sillier ideas I've ever seen. I'll leave it at that. Thank you to the officers for an excellent recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Lippitt. Are there any other people who would like, councillors who would like to speak to the motion? Note that I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we can declare the motion carried. The next item is 6.5, which is the update on the Extended Outdoor Dining Initiative. Councillors, would you like a presentation on this item? No, thank you. Then we, I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Campbell, thanks, and a councillor to second the motion. A councillor to second the motion. Councillor Deutsch, thank you so much. I'm looking to you, Councillor Campbell, thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. One of the great delights of walking the streets of our city at the moment is seeing how the landscape has changed as a result of outdoor dining, and it has been wonderful seeing people out there visiting our restaurants that have been so hard hit after the last year, but more importantly, improving conditions for our hospitality businesses that are still suffering from reduced density limits, still not able to open at full capacity inside, the leg up we can give them by expanding the area in which they can have patrons, we know is critical. It's a critical lifeline that was first thrown to them in October 2020 when this program commenced, and we're delighted that we've been able to extend it, which we did last year, until June this year, while we continue to consider whether to make it a permanent addition to our city. The work that is required to do that is already underway, and it's a comprehensive evaluation of how extended outdoor dining has worked. That has been commissioned, and that will come back before this council next month when we consider the future of this program. But what we do know so far is that it has played a vital role in allowing our hospitality businesses to trade on in better conditions than they would have if they were limited to their indoor dining area with those ongoing density limits. And we've seen that with the offering of the extension. The extension is still being finalised, but it has been offered to 332 hospitality businesses who are invited to extend their outdoor dining permit for a further 3 months. And out of those 332 businesses, 275 have already accepted the extension. And as we speak, those businesses that have not yet responded are being contacted by our business concierge service, because we are doing all we can to make this program as easy as possible on businesses to take up. We know that they are still suffering from the difficult trading conditions over the last 12 months, and we want to provide them with all the support we can and reduce the red tape in doing that. We will consider the future of this program at the next council meeting, but we know in the interim that we've been able to provide some certainty to our businesses so they can continue to trade on with those great parklets and closed streets and the other outdoor dining features that we've all been able to enjoy and will continue to do until at least June. For those reasons, I'm proud to move this motion.
Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Councillor Deutsch.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Yeah, I second everything Councillor Campbell just said. I think it's a really important program, and that feedback's come back to me, and I'm sure it's come back to many others from just the people we've spoken to in the city. I was approached by a cafe owner just on the fringe of the CBD last week when I was enjoying my coffee, and you know, he was telling me how the parklet had not only been amazing, you know, for its purposes as a cafe, but now because of the extended outdoor dining program, he's been able to open that cafe as a function space on Saturday nights, because now it's got outdoor space for people who smoke and things like that. So rather than having the space that was laying dormant there for all this time, you know, he's been able to utilise it and, you know, have a business and generate income in ways he hadn't before. So I thought that was a really happy unintended consequence of the outdoor dining program, which is a nice little story and testament to why this is such an important program. Proud to second the motion. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Deutsch. Are there any other speakers to this motion? I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we can declare that motion carried. Thanks, councillors. Item 6.6 this evening is participation in the Australian Local Government Association's National General Assembly in Canberra, and it will occur in June 2021. Councillors, would anybody like a presentation on this item? No, thank you. Then I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion as it is there. Councillor Leloux, thank you. And a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Griffiths, thanks very much. Over to you, Councillor Leloux.
Sorry, Lord Mayor and Councillor Leloux, can I make a suggested change to 7.2 while you move it, which is instead of the word councillors at 7.2, that read Deputy Lord Mayor Nicholas Rees, comma, Councillor Hakim, comma, and Councillor Leppett. I do love an Oxford comma.
Good, I was wondering where that was going to happen.
Yeah, I'm happy to move that.
Thank you. Okay, I'm looking for to confirm that you're moving it as it appears on the screen. Councillor Griffiths, thanks.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Leppard, for that change. Look, it's this motion puts forward three of our councillors to participate in ELGA in Canberra, and I would have to say it's one that is quite important to us, just like MAV, but in this sense, it's a place where all the local government associations within Australia will be meeting. I think it's quite important, and many thanks to our fellow councillors, and it was also great to have Deputy Lord Mayor to attend as well, to pushing for a lot of our motions put forward. I think it's quite, having attended once in the last term, I found it very useful. It was also a great way to speak to a lot of the other councils, and you know, it's something that I'm very interested in, hoping we can hear back about how other local councils are dealing with COVID and many of the other things that is happening around. You know, Sydney's at the moment is in flood at the moment, you know, and it's always been great to see actually how they're dealing with that, because we also potentially in the future will have to be dealing with a flood crisis. But nevertheless, I hope the, we are in great hands in the three councils that is going, you know, and hopefully we can get some good results and good outcomes out of it. But nevertheless, and again, thank you for the three councillors taking their time to attend ELGA.
Thanks, Councillor Lelou. Councillor Griffiths.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Liu, for speaking so eloquently and moving the motion. You haven't left me very much to say other than to thank all of the councillors and council officers who've helped to draw together the motions that we're submitting under point 7.1. They're two very important items to consider, of course, in terms of the economic stimulus following on from COVID, and partnerships to reduce carbon emissions. And we know that when you're tackling topics and subjects as big as those are, that we need cooperation across many levels of government. And I think this is an excellent example of our council's willingness to cooperate with other levels of government. And for that reason, I'm very glad to see that we're taking it seriously, sending three representatives, and like Councillor Leilu, I'm looking forward to hearing back all that's been discussed in the Chile Canberra June.
Thank you very much. Any other speakers to the motion? I'd like to add my thanks also to Councillor Leppert, who's been central to preparing our motions for ELGA. Acknowledge your deputy chairmanship body going forward, and it's great that we've got two councillors accompanying you to Canberra for that trip. It has never been a more important time to Councillor Griffiths in terms of sharing and learning, so that's terrific. So thank you all. I'm putting the motion to vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Motion unanimously carried, so thank you very much. Well, this concludes reports from management to be considered in open session this evening. There are no items of general business to be considered. So, councillors, are there any items of urgent business that anybody would like to raise at this time? None? Good, thank you. Well, then I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion that's displayed on the screen, which we need to consider to be able to close this meeting to the public so that we can move into confidential. Councillor Griffiths, thank you. I'm looking for a seconder. Deputy Lord Mayor, thank you. I'm putting the motion to the vote as it appears on the screen. All those in favour? It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you. I'd like to thank members of the public. Thank you for attending our open session this evening. I'm declaring the open session closed at 6:09 p.m. Thank you.